at 100.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin. I appreciate you joining me. We're going to start out the show today. A couple of segments. I'm going to do them with a gentleman by the name of Pete Sepp. Pete has been on the show numerous times in the past. He is the Vice President of Government Affairs for the National Taxpayers Union, a very, very interesting organization. Pete is a very, very interesting guy. The reason I wanted to chat with Pete, and I wanted to devote two segments to this, is there's a real parallel between what's going on in our country right now and what is going on in Greece. The situation in Greece, on the surface, appears to be much more dramatic with the headlines that it's grabbing, with the riots, with the people who are getting seriously injured, etc., etc. But underneath the surface, the situations are very, very similar. Greece, basically, the bottom line is the country is insolvent and without infusion, loan forgiveness, etc., from other countries around the world, Greece would default on its debt, and the implications that that would have on what, you know, I and all of our listeners are, you know, near and dear to our hearts is it would absolutely cause havoc in the financial markets. Well, let me tell you something. The situation in the United States, forget about the riots, because that really hasn't happened yet per se, but in terms of insolvency, the United States, in my humble opinion, okay, is insolvent. We have a debt that is unmanageable. I can see absolutely no way that the United States can turn this situation around. And apparently, where Mr. Sepp and I disagree, he's a little more optimistic than I am, and that's why I want to chat with him. The National Taxpayers Union has a plan to solve this particular situation, and I applaud them for that. Pete, let's start out. Tell our listeners a little bit, if you would, about the National Taxpayers Union.
We're a nonprofit, nonpartisan citizen group founded back in 1969 to work for lower, stable, and reformed taxes, smaller, more efficient government, and accountability from public officials. Now, quite obviously, over the 42 years we've been around, we haven't always been successful. But we do believe that along the way, we've been able to influence things like reforming the Internal Revenue Service's tax administration policies, winning tax and expenditure limits at the state and local level. But again, the major reforms we need to the federal government's finances have been very difficult to obtain. One of the elements of the reform plan we're proposing now, the balanced budget amendment, has been a topic of discussion since the mid-1970s. We've come very close to passing it within one vote, actually, of the two-thirds margin needed in the Senate. But still, Congress has resisted these kinds of reforms, and it's a true shame, because we, of course, have heard about Social Security's and Medicare's problems since, the 1992 presidential campaign with Ross Perot, the guy with the charts and the Texas twang. Right. That was almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
What have we done over 20 years
to
advance
worse.
This?
Pete,
yes.
I can't believe it. It's only gotten worse. And, you know, what I just gleaned, and it was just kind of hit me, you know, right in the forehead from what you were just saying right now, is it's not the Republicans' fault. It's not the Democrats' fault. It's government. It's big government's fault.
Yes, and Republicans and Democrats alike have just failed to take action. I mean, the seeds of this spending spree were sown under George W. Bush, the post-9/11 spending. But the big story, besides obviously the military involvements we've had, is that domestic spending rose pretty dramatically under Bush's watch as well.
Yeah, it did. There's no question about that. Now, you guys basically stand for everything that Big Al stands for: small government, accountable government, on and on and on. Let's talk about that a little bit. It strikes me that in terms of accountability, we're really not there. And, you know, and I'll give you a couple of examples that come to mind that it's got nothing to do with the National Taxpayers Union, but it's got everything to do with accountability, and that is without congressional approval, the United States got involved in a couple of wars, for lack of better terms, they couldn't afford. I had nothing to say about that. Pete Sepp had nothing to say about that. We just got up one morning and we read in the paper that we were going into Iraq. We just got up one morning and read in the paper that we're going into Afghanistan where the Russians got their butts kicked. We just got up one morning and found out that we were involved in Pakistan. We just got up one morning and found that we're now involved in Libya. I mean, accountability? Come on.
And these are quite expensive ventures. We can, of course, set aside the foreign policy debate for a moment and whether it was a just war or not. But these things require huge amounts of finance. In previous history, prior to the Vietnam conflict, most of our wars were paid for by, number one, reducing spending elsewhere on other programs, and number two, by instituting very temporary increases in taxes and borrowing. That all changed during the Vietnam era when the guns and butter policy simply took root throughout the federal government among Republicans and Democrats, and it's been sticking with us ever since. That's really the persistence of deficit spending and the accumulation of debt that we've seen over the past 40-odd years. It's been due to that philosophy.
People can say what they want about politicians, okay, but the one thing that you have to give those guys, and again, I'm talking both sides of the aisle and the independents and everybody here, the one thing you have to give those guys is, you know, they're bright people. They would not have gotten to where they are if they didn't have IQs somewhat above 70, okay? He says tongue in cheek. Why are they taking the actions that are absolutely ruinous to the United States, in my opinion?
I think some of it just has to do with prolonging their term in office, which I think is self-defeating. Very ironically, they believe that they're perpetuating their political careers by saying, no worries, folks, we can keep spending the way we are. It'll only take a few small tax increases here and there, and we'll approve a $2 trillion increase in the federal debt without consequence, and everything will be all right. The problem is the interest groups and voting constituencies that they promise this to will largely be the same constituencies who will see those promises dashed to bits very soon because reality is about to hit our economy and these policymakers right in the face.
You know, Pete, I have to tell you, I can't believe when you look at what has happened, when our politicians look at what has happened in Greece, Ireland, Spain, Portugal, to an extent in the UK. It's my understanding that we're right around the corner in the United Kingdom, England, for, you know, for having some just serious, serious financial storms, for lack of better terms, over there. Seeing what happened in those countries and not taking action to prevent it happening in the United States is absolutely beyond my comprehension.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, too. And you can see even the government agencies reporting on these things are changing their terminology. The Congressional Budget Office came out with their long-term fiscal outlook very recently, and they used the term daunting to describe the challenges facing the United States. Even now, they're doing all kinds of gymnastics saying, well, the national debt hasn't quite reached the 100% of gross domestic product mark. That's sort of the danger sign that most economists say, oh boy, this country is in trouble. Well, they only can do that by saying we haven't reached it as a percentage of GDP with public debt, the amount that they issue for savings bonds, T-bills, etc. But if you include the debt owed to Social Security and Medicare, the so-called intragovernmental bonds, the money that Congress stole out of these fake trust funds for these programs, we are at 100%.
Oh, yeah.
We're there.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. I want you guys to stick around a little bit. You know, this is a very, very interesting couple of segments that we have with Mr. Sepp here of the National Taxpayers Union. I'm going to be right back with Pete. Stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to herbalhealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available at all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with Uhindi and Super Fem Plex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at herbalhealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800, but your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Has the whole world gone mad?
What's going on?
How can they do that?
Can Christians have demons?
Why are politicians so detached?
Need answers to these questions? This is Scott Enser for HardcoreChristianity.com, the nastiest Christian radio show and website in the country. When it comes to the biblical truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, about what's really going on in America and the rest of the world. Come join us each day as Michael W. Smith of the House of Healing in Phoenix reveals what the churches in America failed to tell you about the true spirit realm concerning demonic activity, mental illness, and even the basis of hardcore evil that is sweeping mankind. Visit HardcoreChristianity.com. Remember, you cannot negotiate with evil. You have to eradicate it. It's not too late. Live in or visiting the Phoenix area? Come join us twice a week for our healing and deliverance services or attend our free monthly seminars. Check website for service hours and schedules.
HardcoreChristianity.com.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Chatting with Pete Sepp, Vice President for Governmental Affairs for the National Taxpayers Union. A very interesting organization, and I think it may be one that you may want to strongly consider supporting. Okay, Pete, what does the NTU say we need to do right now to solve this? problem is almost not strong enough a word, but let's leave it at that for right now, that we have in the United States with our deficit and our continued spending, et cetera, et cetera. What do you guys think we should do?
We need a short, medium, and long-term strategy that can be summarized by three words: cut, cap, and balance.
Okay.
We need to begin cutting federal spending right away, not at the rather bogus level that Congress agreed to do for fiscal year 2011. Remember, there were campaign promises of cutting $100 billion from the present year's outlays. They wound up somewhere south of $50 billion,
right.
A lot of gimmicks. What we're looking for is a substantial reduction that will end up cutting next year's federal deficit at least in half. Now, it's currently about $1.5 trillion. There's going to be some uptick in revenues that will reduce next year's deficit a bit, but we believe Congress needs to work on about $400 billion of immediate spending reductions. Sounds like a huge amount. Anywhere outside of Washington, it would be a huge amount. But what we're looking for is a reduction in total spending that would still leave outlays higher than they were in 2008, a little lower than they were in 2009. Now, with that perspective, it doesn't seem like we ought to be saying the sky would fall if we did this. $400 billion of savings can be found if we put everything on the table, including defense.
And what you're saying is that would not be necessarily a draconian cut in spending. That would simply take us back to 2008 levels, the year that President Obama was elected.
Yeah, in fact, it would take us a little above that level and somewhat below what they were in 2009 when the stimulus was going on. So, again, this should not be a huge stretch if we can all agree that our fiscal situation really is serious and demands equally serious responses.
Pete, elaborate on some of the cuts you're talking about, would you?
Well, we're looking at entire program eliminations, things like subsidies for the Amtrak National Passenger Railroad. We would be looking at defense spending reductions that could include spare parts and contracting reforms, termination of systems like the V-22 Osprey, which has had a lot of trouble. It's an aircraft system that is supposed to be very capable but has not proven to display the performance that was promised. We need to look at entitlement reforms and reductions right away, things such as perhaps asking federal employees to pay more toward their federal pensions. We need to be looking at program reductions in agriculture, too.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of things, from farm subsidies to the Department of Commerce's corporate welfare programs. We got to look at them all. And we have been developing lists of those reductions, not only with the conservative wing of the Republican Party, but with groups like U.S. Public Interest Research Group. We did a report in the fall of last year that identified $650 billion worth, gross, about $600 billion net in spending reductions.
You know, Pete, it sounds to me, when you talk about all of these cuts, it sounds to me like, you know, you talk about defense spending. I mean, for God's sakes, we're not defending our country. I mean, that's not where the money is going. And I'm not disagreeing with you, but it sounds to me like this involvement that the United States has in the Middle East really is something that just has to be stopped. We can't afford it.
The expense is quite large, and there are many options we could have for defense spending reductions. And I would say this, too, we actually supported an amendment by congressional Democrats very recently on the National Defense Reauthorization Bill. That was offered by Pete Stark of California, an avowed liberal, saying, let's roll defense spending back to fiscal year 2008 levels, just like the Republicans want to do for all the domestic spending. And they said, come on, you conservative groups, show your principles. And we said, okay, sure, let's do that. Certainly, our military was not starving in fiscal year 2008. That was still a large portion of our involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan.
I would have to say we were easily as strong then as we are right now. I mean, I do have to disagree with some of the hawks when, you know, in terms of the situation in the Middle East. It is, I am amazed, Pete, and I don't want to, you know, beat a dead horse here, but I am amazed that we can't take the lesson, for example, that the Russians learned in Afghanistan. I mean, Russia is not exactly an inconsequential country when it comes to military power, and they basically just said, the heck with it, we're out of here. Now, let's talk about some other entitlements. You know, the one that comes to mind to me is the medical care situation. You know, that is something that is truly, truly unaffordable for the United States. And and as it's known, Obamacare is something that at this point in time, I don't really feel is necessary for a whole variety of reasons. And I'm not a hard person when I say that. You know, anybody who has a life-threatening situation who goes into an emergency room by law has to be treated. But in terms of universal medical care, I agree, it's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. We need it. But the United States can't afford it right now.
Well, and see, this is one of the medium-term issues that the second portion of our strategy, the cap portion, is made all the more vital for, because what we need to do is have statutory limits on total federal spending, all categories, that starts to ratchet down our overall budget to a more affordable level. Right now, we're spending about 25% of gross domestic product. We want to try and get it down closer to 18 or 19% over the next 5 to 7 years, because the 18 to 19% level is roughly where our revenues tend to settle in good years, or if you want to average them out. And so if you do that, what you do is start to position yourself for a balanced federal budget in most years.
Yeah.
Now, that's the purpose of the statutory caps.
Yeah. It's a situation that on the surface really appears, when you talk about the entitlement spending and the defense spending that we're doing right now, it's a situation that logic tells me is simply pandering to special interests. And you know what? I don't just blame President Obama for that. You know, it goes back. We should have never, never in the Bush years increased the military spending to the point that we did when, I mean, George Bush is a smart guy, and his advisors were smart people. They should have realized that was a situation that was simply unsustainable. Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union, I want to get you back on the show next week if you can do it. Thank you so much. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali C.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, the main name in military supply.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Where can you find a super-strength potassium iodide supplement? Right here at ThyroidKI.com. With global radiation levels at record highs, is your thyroid safe from radioactive iodine poisoning? Potassium iodide, the key ingredient in Thyroid KI, is proven to block radioactive iodine from damaging your thyroid. Thyroid damage is permanent and can lead to thyroid cancer. Unlike other potassium iodide products, Thyroid KI is formulated in convenient 32.5 milligram tablets and is independently tested for purity with a 100% money-back guarantee. With limited stock selling fast, act now. Prepare yourself and protect your family. Use coupon code THYROID for a 10% discount. Visit ThyroidKI.com. That's Thyroid, the letter K, the letter I.com. ThyroidKI.com or call 855-599-9444. 855-599-9444. Again, that's 855-599-9444.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Boy, there is a lot of interesting stuff going on right now. And boy, you folks out there need to get the opinions of all of our guests. These are some very sophisticated, well-informed people. And, you know, and then make your decisions as to what you're going to do. But I have to tell you, you know, as when I was chatting with Pete Sepp from the National Taxpayers Union in the last couple of segments, I am firmly convinced that there is a huge strong, boy, there's an interesting choice of words, correlation between what's going on both domestically and internationally from a financial, economic, political, etc. standpoint, and what's going on in the investment community. I'm going to get an opinion right now from a friend of mine who is in the resource industry, has been in the resource industry basically all his life from a technical standpoint, Jeff Pontius. Jeff is the chairman and CEO of a company called Corvus Gold. He's also on the board of directors of International Tower Hill Mines. Both of these companies are sponsors of ours, companies that I know relatively well. And by the way, I do want to announce that I have decided that I am going to purchase shares in Corvus. You're hearing this on Saturday. So I will make my purchase on Wednesday, which is 3 days from now. Okay, having said that, Jeff, I have a question for you. We have right now some real gyrations in the market. Gold doesn't seem to know where it's going to go. It's hanging out there above $1,500 an ounce, but, you know, we're not seeing any moves up. We're not seeing any moves down. In terms of the conventional stock market, the value of the U.S. dollar is, you know, it's vacillating. It isn't going up. It isn't going down. It's just kind of hanging in there between 74 and 75 on the index. My opinion is all of this is happening because of psychological factors involving the investor. And here's one good example. This past week on Tuesday, consumer confidence, the monthly figures came out. They were down again for the second month. People are confused. What do you think is going on, and what do you think our listeners should do to protect themselves and their families?
Well, thanks, Al. A couple key things, takeaways I get from the current market. First of all, when we look back historically, we saw investor panic, and that was back in 08, late 08. We saw a disconnect between gold price, major producing equity prices, and more developmental companies like, say, ITH or exploration companies like Corvus.
Yeah.
And that gap created there, it lasted for roughly 4 to 6 months as investors sucked back into dollars and the most conservative investments they could make. And those were really driven by the fact, in my opinion, that investors wanted to protect their wealth.
Sure.
And that was not a bad idea. But once the market turned around, they recognized the value of gold in this market. They came back with a vengeance, and we all saw all the money that was made from late 08 to until today in that sector. And I think what we're seeing now is that same gapping, and we're seeing exactly the same sort of perfect storm going on, and I think this is a great opportunity for people to make a lot of money in the future. You know, fundamentally, I believe that gold is going to be an extremely important investment piece of everybody's portfolio because the dollar will continue to get weaker. And as we go forward, we're going to need to have some of those hard assets. There is just no solution to the situation that we have in front of the U.S. government right now. The only way we've ever gotten out of these situations in the past is to produce our way out of them. You can't tax cut, you cannot cut deficits and get yourself out of an economic trouble we're in now. We have to reinvigorate this economy, and that's exactly what we need to be doing. And I truly believe that some of the realignment of the tax situation in the U.S. for corporations and so forth is very important, and that we need to stimulate our economy so that we can produce our way out of this. Bill Clinton, as we talked about before, Al, has come out with a very interesting observation on this. He was one of the guys, Democrat, but he definitely was able to get himself out of not quite as bad a situation as we're in today, but a similar situation.
Yeah, he was. You know, I have a lot of respect for Clinton. I don't agree with some of his philosophy, you know, but I think he did a lot of things that were positive for the country. But having said that, you know, you talk about producing our way out of it. I agree, Jeff, with you 1,000%. Okay, but the manufacturing sector in the United States continues to dwindle. Okay, you know, the Democrats would say, well, that's not true, Big Al. Look at what our governmental action did to save, you know, a huge, huge part of the manufacturing sector, which is General Motors. Well, I say, okay, but you know, but still, in terms of the big picture, manufacturing in the United States is really, really just kind of a shadow of what it used to be. How are we going to produce our way out of it, Jeff?
Well, I think it's an important thing to look at other economies that have done this. And I hate to raise this because it's probably quite a controversial point, but more broader tax base at the bottom, more consumer base. And that really is essentially our ability to add population to our country. And one of the aspects that we can do that with is immigration. America has always been a great immigration country.
Yeah.
And immigration has really spurred economic development in the past. We need more jobs, yes, but we need more workers in that base, paying taxes, consuming, buying the refrigerators and the TVs that we're making here. And we just got to get that base together and grow it. And I think that we can do it in a couple ways. We can ease some of the restrictions on development of industry.
Yeah.
I'm particularly in an industry that has a hell of a lot of regulation on it.
Yeah.
And I think we're not talking about creating mining projects that are going to be environmental hazards or create long-term liabilities. We're just talking about being able to advance those projects from taking 10 years to develop to taking 5 years to develop and not really, you know, impacting anything along the way. We got to get the EPA off our back, and we got to start moving down the road of making industry a primary investment tool for America and getting the government to get behind it. And I think we also got to have a better base of people.
It's really interesting what the in terms of your particular and my particular industry resources, it's interesting how many jobs the energy sector could create. You know, you look at the natural gas situation with this, with the fracking developments that are going on right now. You look at the tremendous amount of jobs that can be created in the infrastructure of that particular industry. I agree 100%. But here's an interesting question for you. We have right now, we've got a 9% unemployment rate. Okay, why do you think we need more people coming in to fill the jobs? Do you think that 9% could easily go down to, you know, what normal unemployment is, which is around 4.5%, and then we could grow, from there?
I think if we do a good job of stimulating industry here, we can probably get a reasonable unemployment rate that is probably in the neighborhood of maybe 6% or so. But, our economy has now evolved to a point where we're going to see, if we're really serious about keeping all the social benefits that this country offers, we're going to look a lot more like Europe than we are the United States. And so in the future, if you look at European unemployment rates, those unemployment rates sit around 6%, 7% at a static level when things are running well. So, we have to either get back to that innovative, great American way of doing business where we can have a 4% unemployment rate, or we're going to have to just suck it up and take the type of unemployment rate we see in Europe.
Last question, really quick, got about a minute here, if that. Entitlements. What does the government need to do with this huge entitlement program that we've got?
Well, we started out an entitlement program that was covering the basic needs of our retiring community, health care and Social Security. We've expanded that program through a myriad of additions that now take in a broad base of things that we're covering. We need to get back to basics.
Boy, isn't that the truth. I do not understand why the federal government doesn't understand that. You know what? I do understand it. And the reason they're doing it is it's a great way to buy votes and stay in power. Jeff Pontius, thank you so much, my friend. Hey, stick around, you guys. Big Al's going to be right back.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt? Behind on your payments or barely making minimums? Massive interest payments have you running like mad in circles. How long can you keep it up? Stop running. Let the Thomason Law Group carefully plan your escape. We're one of only a few remaining debt relief companies to survive massive government crackdowns. Why? Because the Thomason Law Group has proven itself, helping thousands of people like you reclaim their financial future for over 18 solid years. We have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and offices in all 50 states. Our expert credentialed staff can specifically tailor make your absolute best recovery plan. I'm a paid spokesperson, not a lawyer, and every case is different. But if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, call the Thomason Law Group now for a free no obligation consult with a trained legal analyst. 1-800-756-3744. Call now because you're tired of running. 800-756-3744. 800-756-3744.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the first hour of the Portland Economics Report. I've got Sean Hyman with me right now. He is an analyst. He is a currency director for the World Currency Watch. He's the editor of the Currency Cross Trader newsletter. Been on the program before, a very, very interesting individual. Sean, you know, this past week, the subject du jour has been the situation in Greece. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, violent riots over there, people protesting the concept of the austerity measures. We have talked about that a couple of times. I talked about it on our daily editorial. I think it's absolutely criminal what the government has done over there over the past few years in terms of fostering this very, very negative situation. The parliament in Greece on Thursday said, okay, we'll buy the austerity measures. I want to get your opinion on that, number one, and then number two, what the impact of that, of a country like Greece, could actually have on the financial community on an international basis. First of all, what's your reaction to the vote of the parliament? You know, yeah, we'll take the austerity measures. I think it's a non-event, but what do you think?
Well, you know, I think it gives the financial markets some relief in the near term because they've been biting their nails over that thing. And so that will allow investors to go back to what they want to do, which is buying the riskier assets and going away from a lot of the defensive assets. And I think it will temporarily at least give a lift to the euro. So it's seen as for the markets as a temporary victory, but honestly, it will likely be short-lived because they're going to need more help. And I honestly don't think that they can make their payments on all these loans, even once, or if they get all of their funding lined up. So that's a bigger issue that I think that they're going to have down the road. So it's basically allowed them to extend this, buy some time, kick the can down the road. But again, I still think it's been more of a Band-Aid, and it still hasn't completely solved the problem. And that's going to still cause the euro some problems down the road.
Well,
definitely.
Here's an interesting point. I have a listener by the name of David who said the following, and I'd like to get your opinion of this, and this is a direct quote. David says, I spent several hours digging out some numbers, and I am stunned at how Greece has been using various techniques to cook its books and appear a more viable country than it actually is. It needs to default and default now. It's so corrupt and so broke, it cannot be fixed. The European Union should expel Greece from the EU for misrepresentation of its economics. You may believe the U.S. misrepresents its inflation and economic welfare by using substitution, e.g. chicken for beef, homeowners equivalent rent instead of actual house prices and actual rents. However, it appears to me that this is child's play to what Greece does. Do you agree with that?
I think that they should be forced to leave, and I think that eventually it's going to come to that. It was George Soros the other day that said that he thinks that it will lead to that as well. And because I just think that, you know, one, they've had to lie, cheat, and steal just about everything to get into being a part of the euro, and I just don't think that, you know, if they could have done it legitimately, they would have. If they couldn't, they had to fudge everything and get Goldman to help them with it to get in. So I think that basically they're not going to be able to run with that pack, and they're eventually going to have to leave and go back to their own currency.
Yeah. Sean, let's talk a little bit about the implications of this on your clients, you know, the folks who listen to this radio show, people who are active in the investment community. Obviously, you know, we're at a break right now. We're at an impasse. You know, for the next 30 to 60 days, nobody knows what's going to happen. But let's talk about what the situation potentially could be 6 to 12 months down the road as a result of this.
Yeah, I think it's going to still make the euro shaky, which is problematic because, I mean, that's one of the most major currencies of the world.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest central bank holdings and things of that sort as well. So I really think that it's going to, you know, I really think you got to say, okay, well, what's going to shine out of all of this? You know, if you look from a central banker standpoint, there's really only a few real currencies out there that they have the liquidity levels to invest in, and that's typically the euro, the dollar, and gold. And, of course, we know what shape the euro's in right now. We know, of course, you know, the continuing decline of the dollar, so that really makes gold, for instance, a place to shine. So I think that's going to be a winner out of this. I think that the Swiss franc will continue to shine. It's been one of the few currencies to keep up with gold as well. So I think people will continue to run to, you know, Switzerland as a safe haven, and just because it's got, you know, great fundamentals right now. Its unemployment's extremely low. You know, it's about a third of that of Europe or the U.S. But with Japan, Europe, and the U.S. all being having their own sad stories all at once, it really is a huge incentive for money to run to some of these places like gold in Switzerland. And I think that will be, you know, a theme that will continue just because of some of these dynamics.
When you talked about the three areas where central bankers could invest, I find it really interesting that you said, you know, the euro, the dollar, and gold, because gold isn't really, by conventional standards, for lack of better terms, the powers that be, i.e. the central bankers, don't really consider gold to be money right now. I am a firm believer that gold is money. What are your comments on that?
I think that it is too. And, you know, whether they want to believe that it's money or whether they want to believe that it's a hedge, I mean, one, it's a great place to be to offset, you know, the decline of the dollar. So whether somebody is in it for inflation, whether they're in it for the fear side of things or a hedge, or if they're in it because they really view it as an actual monetary instrument, they've got to be in gold, in my opinion. So, you know, no matter which way they slice it, they've got to be in it.
You know, here we've got a currency expert, you know, centered in one of the most conservative states in the union, i.e. Texas, and you're saying you like gold. I mean, it's refreshing to hear that because, you know, I couldn't agree more. And that's what this program has centered on, hard assets, for the past 10 years, and so far we've been right. I mean, you know, when we started talking about gold and silver, gold was trading around $254 an ounce. Today we're up over $1,500. As we're recording this right now, late Friday, just before the market closes, you know, on the ass side we're at 1507.40. The U.S. dollar by the other token, is off on the index. It's off 0.32 to 74.33. I think anybody who doesn't look at gold, Sean, I got to tell you, man, I think they're nuts.
Yeah, you know, the other day they asked me about that on CNBC, and I told them, you know, I felt that gold could easily go to $2,500 an ounce, because it, you know, it's just one of your few choices right now for the biggest pools of money that have to go to some of the deepest pools of liquidity, and there's only so many of them out there.
Yeah.
When the dollar looks so bad and the euro looks so bad, gold is such a huge place to run to. So it just shines even brighter in the, you know, fundamentally flawed darkness of Europe and the U.S. Same thing for Switzerland.
Yeah.
So this is where, you know, most of them have to go. There's other spots that I like. I like Singapore's dollar, Norway's krone, but you know, a lot of, so the average investor can definitely go there, and some medium-sized institutions can as well, but like a central bank really would have a hard time having a big piece of those currencies in their holdings at this point. That they will probably change, but for now it's still not a viable option for them. So we have more choices on the, you know, retail and even institutional level than those guys do.
What are you telling your readers and your clients?
We're bearish on the Japanese yen right now. You know, bullish on gold, bullish on the Swiss franc. So we like, you know, gold and the franc, not just from the defensive side of things, but we really think, in particular, Switzerland has really good fundamentals, and that's why it's performed well in up stock markets. It's performed well in down stock markets recently. And so we're trying to shift them to things that have done well in both up or down stock markets, because I believe we're going to have a lot of both in the months ahead. Lots more choppiness ahead of us.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that. Listen, you guys out there, I want to strongly suggest that you take a look at what Sean does. We are providing a banner on our homepage. You can learn more about Sean. You can learn more about what he is doing in terms of the currency cross-trader newsletter, etc. You have to get all of the opinions that you possibly can. You've got to get all the input that you possibly can, because that's the only way that you're going to be able to protect yourselves, your families, and your friends. Stick around. Big Al's going to be back for the next hour of the Corlin Economics Report.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.